Thank you, Erin. I'm going to take us back from that high-level research focus and go down to using the data that school nurses are collecting every day to make this kind of research possible. So I'm really excited to have been set up so well. I appreciate that. I have no relationships to disclose either. So my objectives today are going to be, and I probably will, I have too many slides, I have to warn you right off the top of here today. So I'm going to go through the first set quickly because if you're all in school health, you understand much of what I'm going to try to sell you on in the first piece of my presentation. But I'll look at why is school health data important, how it fits into national health objectives for the nation, and then a study that I did a few years ago that looked at variables from school health data collection instruments to try to look at how we can standardize the data we're collecting in schools. So again, I'll go through this quickly. Some of the goals of the value of school health data is it can support data-driven health decisions for students individually, provide care coordination, efficient, effective care, real-time condition management. Kids are in school 6 hours a day, 5 days a week. That's probably our most reliable source of documented data on children's health. We need it to provide program planning. We need it to provide effective resource allocation. And I think many of the speakers today have talked to the dearth of resources for school health services. We also need to look at population-level data management. And someone mentioned the H1N1. That was, I'm sure many of you know, first identified by a school nurse based on the information from her population of students in her classroom. And that magnified on a national level, I think, has huge potential. We need to look and support more of this children's health research. We have a huge database that's not being utilized effectively. And then finally, to support our national priorities in health. And some of those priorities are related to electronic health records, interoperability of data, and accountability measures. So I think you all are understanding this concept that school nurses do complete that circle of care. There was an article a few years ago by Julia Lear who identified school health services as the invisible healthcare system, and we need to find a way to improve the visibility of that system. And one of the things we want to look at is data-driven health decisions for individual students. So if we look at what typical health decisions are made on now, it's a lot of clinic data, which is point in time. So your physical exam, your labs, and I like to, as many of you folks have done, look at kids with asthma as a good exemplar for why we need to move this process forward. It also includes those care decisions are built off of data from the home, the parents, their recall data, which has questionable reliability depending on who that parent is. But if we look at the school, much of that data that we're collecting every day that may include peak flow rates on students, medication use in the health room that's documented at the time it's given, absenteeism, the health room use, maybe a respiratory assessment by the nurse, that often does not get included in that student's plan of care. We're also in an era of accountability, both in health and education. There's a lot of similarities between the collection of data that's being supported. We have some marketing campaigns, the data quality campaign in education, the meaningful use of health data in healthcare. But the interesting thing is that school health, which is the bridge between these two systems, is not described in any national database. We need to work on that. The Institute of Medicine has endorsed population-level health data collection to improve not only the interventions, but to examine how well those interventions are working. And some of the variables that are being promoted there are determinants of health status, the performance of stakeholders. Does it make a difference how much nursing time we have in a building? How are we doing with our public health investments? And what is the status of health of individual communities? So we need to move to effective child health care with effective data management. And that's going to support electronic documentation, interoperability, and care coordination. And key pieces of that are going to be the standardization of the variables we're using. So your research variables are already outlined. We'd like to get that standardized nationally so that we can start looking at not only individual districts, but how do states compare? How can we collect data over the national landscape? So the first step, managing data with electronic systems. The country's in this huge effort to improve the accessibility of individual patients to electronic health records. There are a number of reasons why it's felt that this is going to be effective. The main point, I think, is that the right data gets to the right provider at the right time. I love that picture, yes. So it also, I think another important piece of electronic health records is the complexity of the data that we're looking at. We're looking at kids from sometimes preschool through age 21. We're looking at huge caseloads. Caseloads vary in the United States from about 1 to 400 students per nurse in Vermont to up to 4,000 students per nurse on average in places like Utah. So we have huge caseloads that we need to manage. The complexity of the conditions for students that we're seeing in schools now has gone up tremendously as we've improved our care of kids who have serious health conditions, kids who are preemies are surviving longer. We've got essentially a child from the most comprehensive set of clinics in a health center is coming to school for care, probably the next day. And then interoperability. And interoperability looks at, I collect data in the school health room, I've got data in the clinic, I've got data in the hospital. How do we make all of those systems connect to each other so that we can share data across systems? So that's the meaningful use of data. It's not data that's sitting in my electronic health record like an electronic filing cabinet. It's actually being able to use the data effectively to promote population health, collect it once, use it many times, minimize the siloing, so we're not keeping school health data in the health room, we're allowing it to be shared to be supporting that child's health. And then looking at it from multiple perspectives. So we've got people from different disciplines looking at it from different perspectives so we can get the most value out of that data. And so looking at it from the school health perspective, we need to make sure we have exchange standards, data standards, standardized school health data points, and we want to maintain that link between the education data and the health data because we want to look at not just how is the intervention affecting that child's health, but are we making a difference for their graduation rates and their attendance. And then finally, we need to make sure that we're managing confidentiality and security. We don't want to lose the trust of parents to share their child's health data with us. And then finally, bringing it all together, which looks at the national landscape. And part of healthcare reform is this focus on what's called the triple aim. And the goals of triple aim are to improve population health, to improve the individual's experience in the healthcare system, and manage costs. So the focus is on individuals and families, redesigning the structures of how we're providing care, managing health at the population level, creating cost control agreements, and integrating systems so that they all work together. And one of the features of healthcare reform are these accountable care organizations, and they're kind of a new concept now that hasn't been completely fleshed out, but they have a population focus. They're focused on chronic condition management to manage costs. There will be accountability measures in these ACOs, shared responsibility not only for the cost, but the outcomes of care, moving from a fee-for-service to value-driven care. So now we get to school health variables, which I think is going to be one of the key components to how we can make this happen in school health. And the American Nurses Association has a criteria for a minimum data set that can support how we can make sure that the data that we're collecting, the variables that we're describing, have a rigor that will make them useful. So I did a study of six state school health data collection instruments to look at the variables that school health experts in various states have identified as important to describing school nursing. And my purpose there was to break down these data instruments into the variables and see what were the similarities and differences in the different variables. My goal, ultimately, is to create a nationally standardized data set with these variables that are measurable over different states. So it was a purposive, convenient sample, solicited these six data collection instruments from states. My goal there was to look at the most comprehensive instruments that I could find. I did a comprehensive content analysis based on the data bits in each of their reporting instruments. And really, the variables group themselves pretty much. There's a lot of similarity in the kinds of data that we're collecting, but the how we label each of those variables and the hierarchy that they flowed in these different instruments was very different. So that actually kind of validated the value of the study in that we are now in this electronic information age, and it took a human to categorize these variables and draw links between them so that they could be compared across different systems. So the results were five categories emerged from the data: staffing demographics, risk management variables, health promotion, episodic care, and care coordination. And you can see that the distribution of the data bits, there are almost 1,000 data bits in these six instruments, and episodic care, which is the care in the health room, the screening, medications, that's our largest category. Six of the six states collected that data, and it was 40% of the variables. Case management was the next level, and this is essentially the care of children with chronic health conditions. Five out of six states collected this. And then the staffing demographics, five of the six states collected. It was 20% of the variables. And risk management was five of the six states. And risk management is related to policies and trainings that are provided by the school nurse, advocacy by the school nurse, and then finally health promotion, which is, you know, trainings by in healthy behaviors by the school nurse. And I think both risk management and health promotion, there are few variables identified here. I think there's a lot more risk management and health promotion activities that go on in schools, but we're not capturing that data, which I think is an opportunity lost here to describe the value of what school nurses are doing. So in demographics, the categories that emerged were the provider type. So is it a nurse? Is it an unlicensed person? Is it a physician? Is it OTPT? What their credentials were and their role in the school. And then what their staffing, essentially what I'm looking at it is the dose of whatever that that role was, and then their funding. So my recommendations in terms of beginning with a standardized set of variables include the education of the provider, their license, any kind of certification they have. And then I also wanted to look at, there was some difficulty in measuring the dose. So, and I called this a critical reference variable or a full-time equivalent caseload. So if we looked at a nurse who had a caseload of 800 students and was in their building full-time, their FTE caseload would be 800 students. But if those same 800 FTE caseload, if those same 800 students were cared for by a nurse who was only there 0.5, the FTE caseload would be 1,600. So we can standardize how we're applying that dose of nursing when we look at the outcomes that we eventually have. And I also wanted to call out the students who maybe have a ventilator or a trach who need a one-to-one nurse. They need to be pulled out separately from our outcomes data. And then risk management, which I said was policy and program development, staff training, recommended that policies and procedures that were developed be measured, the numbers of staff members trained by the nurse in administering medication and emergency response and data collection. And I believe also we need to start measuring more deliberately what kinds of access to electronic systems that we have and what the types of systems are that we're using to collect school health data. Health promotion includes counseling, health education, and support groups, and we need to measure in a standardized way the number of students or participating groups related to health promotion and then self-management of health conditions. And finally, or actually second to last, is episodic care, which includes health room visits. Again, that was that largest category of variables. It includes procedures, medications, and screenings, and counts for medication and procedures I would recommend collecting in a standardized way. And then additionally, completed referrals. So many states mandate vision and hearing screening, and we collect data on that. But the goal there is to get those kids in to get their deficit corrected. So do they actually get in to see a provider? We need to start measuring that. And then finally, case management, which includes types of health conditions, and then care planning for emergencies, health planning, and special education. And I recommended that we begin collecting information on some of the more common and more intense conditions, as well as the counts for health plans and special education services. And in particular, students who qualify for other health impairment under a other health impairment disability for special education, so we can start linking those outcomes with nursing dosage. So what these data collection instruments provided was a frame that represented the breadth and depth of school nursing, the wide range of kids that are supported by school nurses, and allows for systematic collection of longitudinal health data across multiple clients, users, and settings, and to aggregate it so that we can start looking at comparing what are the outcomes of students who share their nurse with 400 students versus the students who share their nurse with 4,000 students. So the next steps are to validate this as a feasible and useful data set. Look at that FTE caseload to see if it's a useful indicator for the dose of school nursing, and standardize the variables and hierarchy so that on a national level we can start comparing electronically the data that we're collecting, and individual states can add their own variables as they need to, but we have a baseline of what we're collecting. And then focusing on standardizing our school health variables, using electronic data systems, training nurses in how to use those electronic systems. That's a key component in unsuccessful implementation of electronic systems. And focusing on care coordination and gathering information from all care providers. And that's my end. Good data makes.